He was there when the Berlin Wall was built. He watched it going up, so he told me, day after day, brick by brick. He said it terrified him. Well, it would. But he also said there was a kind of wartime thrill to it. He knew that feeling well enough. Me too. His blood was up. They might have called this the Cold War, but to Alec, it was definitely war, hot and real. He ran agents both sides of that monstrous thing. I wouldn't be surprised, he said, if it never comes down. But a network of agents, well, that can crumble any moment.
Come on, Carl. Come over. You have to try it now.
Sir, why don't you go and get something to eat? Maybe sleep. Anything happens, we can have you back here in minutes.
No. It's nearly dark. That's what he's waiting for, the dark.
Wasn't he to come over this morning with the West Side workers? Isn't that what you said, sir?
Keep your eyes on the crossing.
Sorry, sir.
And maybe I did say that, but agents aren't planes or trains, no timetables. And this one's almost certainly blown, on the run, and scared. Munt's after him. Munt. Understand?
Yes, sir.
We have to let him choose his own time.
God, it's an ugly thing.
Ugly?
The wall. The wire. Breeze blocks, the yellow light, concentration camp style. On both sides of it, east and west, left in ruins. Like a half-world.
Quite the little urban poet, aren't you, son?
Wait. No.
What do you see?
A car. A black Opel Rekord, I think. It's at the first control. Document check. It's been waved through. Could this be your man, sir?
Maybe. Keep watching.
It's at the second control. Currency check. Customs.
Slow and sure, Carl. Slow and sure.
Three Phobos. Two at the driver's window. Third one walking around the back of the car. He's at the trunk looking inside. He's shutting it. They're waving him on. No. No, waving her on.
It's a woman?
Afraid so, sir. A blonde, fur coat, driving with a cigarette in her mouth.
Elvira. Jesus, Carl, what's she doing here? And where are you? Keep watching. I'm going to talk to her.
Do you want to check my papers too?
Where is he, Elvira?
On the run. They came for him. He has a bicycle.
And you have a car.
It's my husband's. Carl never told you I was married, did he?
No, he didn't. And Christ knows what else he hasn't told me. You came through very easily.
They know me here.
Do they, indeed?
My husband and I both work for an optical firm. We come over regularly on business.
That must be handy.
Alec, they're all gone.
What do you mean?
Firek, Paul, Lanza, Solomon, Munt's got them all. The whole network. Carl's the only one left.
You know the names of the network?
Carl trusts me. You can, too.
Right. He called you his best-kept secret. If I don't trust you, he said, it's too late anyway. Is it too late, Elvira?
No. He'll make it. He's coming over tonight.
This checkpoint?
Yes.
We have a flat on Albrecht-Dürer-Straße, 28A. Go there.
I want to be here when he comes.
No. Go to the flat. I'll bring him there.
Alec.
I've never trusted you. Never will. Now go.
This is a cold city.
I was stationed in Alaska last year. This doesn't seem too bad.
Berlin has a cold all its own. It gets into your bones. One's my age, anyway. You want a slug of this?
Liquor, is it, sir?
Well, it's not Coca-Cola.
No, thank you, sir.
You never touch it?
Never do, sir. Raised that way.
Good boy. I was hardly raised at all.
A man, sir. With a bicycle.
Must be him.
Do you want these?
No, keep looking. Tell me.
He was walking, pushing the bicycle.
Slowly?
Casual as a stroll.
That's Carl.
He's through the document check. Currency and customs to go. Leaning the bicycle against the railings. Into the hut. Wouldn't be surprised if he was whistling.
And neither would I. But he mustn't overdo it. Not too casual, Carl.
He's out. Cheery wave to the soldier on the barrier. It's up. He's through. Just the sentry in the middle of the road now at the line. Getting on the bike, pedaling away, calm as you'll...
What? Tell me.
You look behind him. Now he's pedaling fast.
No, Carl.
Fast as a racer, head down, straight for the sentry.
Dear God.
Halt! Stop!
I hope to God he's dead.
Sir.
Better that than Munt gets him. Our side couldn't give covering fire. Might start a war, you see. Only if their side shoots our way, then can we return fire. But their sentry was facing away from us. Carl wasn't over the line, so the sentry was firing into his own side.
Their side, your side, us and them. If your side wasn't here, the wall would be gone.
So would Berlin. How did Munt know? He knew it would be that checkpoint tonight. He knew about Ferrick, Lancer, all of them. And so did you.
I know you don't trust me, Alec. But do you trust anyone? Neither do I. Certainly not you. You are strange.
Am I?
All you people are strange. Agents, spies, secret people. Carl, too. He was strange, but at least he was a gentleman.
Oh, gentlemen, especially English ones, they're never to be trusted.
Do you know what Carl said? He said if you walked into a London club, the doorman would know instantly you are not a member. In a Berlin nightclub, they give you the best table.
I'll miss that.
You'll go back to London, to the circus, as you call it? What will your masters there do with you?
Well, I rather think they'll put me on ice. I'll leave this city the way I found it, without a single agent worth a farthing. Munt has me beat.
And you'll go home alone. You're single, I think.
Half true. Sometime, long time ago, there was a divorce. There were even children somewhere in their teens by now. All I know about them is that their allowance gets paid.
I'm single now, too. I won't go back to my husband. I can't. And my lover... he's dead because of you.
No, not me. If Carl was stupid enough to bring you this far into things...
Go away, secret man. Go away and be on ice.
He nearly made it. If he hadn't started to hurry, they shot him just yards short of the line.
You must be very tired. Do you find it cold? I could switch on another bar, but this electric heat is so dry, that's the thing. Beat the cold and you parch the atmosphere. Do you suppose that woman betrayed him? What's her name? Elvira?
Maybe.
And he was the last in a long line, eh? The girl they shot in Wedding, then the Dresden man and the arrests in Jena, then Paul, Ferrick, Lancer, and now Carl.
And Solomon, too.
Indeed. Quite a heavy rate of expenditure. I wonder if you've had enough.
Enough? What do you mean? Are you asking if I'm burnt out? Isn't that for you to say?
We have to live without sympathy, don't we? But it's impossible. We acted to one another, all this hardness. But one can't be out in the cold all the time. One has eventually to come in from the cold.
I'm sorry, Control. This isn't my way of talking. What do you want me to do?
I want you to stay out in the cold a little longer. I want you to go after Munt. Do you think we might possibly get that coffee in the not-too-distant future? Ginny's on leave. They give me some new girl. Really too bad. What do you know about Munt?
I know he's a killer.
Did you know he once tried to kill George Smiley?
Smiley?
George isn't with us anymore. Well, he comes and goes. He is somewhat detached from many things in life. His wife, you know, dear Anne.
Lady Anne, isn't it? I saw her once. Long time ago. My, my.
Indeed. And it's a long time since George has seen her. There was an attempt at reconciliation, but, well, Anne too comes and goes. But I do think we should fetch George back in on this. What we have in mind is rather out of the ordinary. Munt is a most distasteful fellow. Not your intellectual kind of communist. A practitioner of the Cold War.
Like us?
Ah. I'll pour. Such a silly girl. It baffles me they can't find good ones anymore. Like us, you say. The ethic of our work, as I understand it, is based on a single assumption. That is, we will never be aggressors. Do you think that's fair?
It's what we say.
And it's what we mean. I insist on that. Of course, we do disagreeable things, but we do them defensively. You can't compare the ideals of one side with the methods of the other. You've got to compare ideal with ideal and method with method. And I have to admit that since the war, our methods and those of the opposition have become much the same. I mean, because our intention is benevolent, we can't be less ruthless than our enemy, can we now? That would never do.
So you're saying you've come up with something out of the ordinary and ruthless, and it's about going after Munt. Well, I'm all for that.
We thought you might be. But forgive me for asking again. You're not too tired. Not too long out in the cold.
If it means killing Munt, I'm game.
Peter Gwillem knows a fair bit about Munt, too. What would you say to a weekend down at my place? My wife is away looking after her mother, so it would be just us four, you and I, Peter, and dear old George.
Of course, Alec, you already know quite a bit about our man.
I know he took out almost all my Berlin network, and next to killing, I think his favourite pastime is torture.
Facts, Alec. Let's begin with them.
Hans-Dieter Munt. He's 42 until 1959. He was a minor player, bodyguard, enforcer, cleaner-up after messy operations.
He's ex-Hitler youth, and a true believer, it would seem. He still hates Jews with religious ferocity.
He worked in London for a while under cover of the East German Steel Mission.
Where he was happy to kill his own agents to save his own skin. And almost killed George.
So I had. Why didn't he finish you?
I rather think he believed he had.
Just about the most vicious beating I've ever seen. George was unconscious for days.
You didn't by any chance, Alec, get a hint as to how Munt got out of England. He had half the nation's police, uniformed and secret, after his blood. His escape has always been something of a mystery.
Not a whisper. But it doesn't surprise me. He's as clever as he's hard.
He disappeared for more than a year.
Then there was the big struggle for power in the East German Secret Service, from which emerged Fiedler as head of counterintelligence.
I don't know much about him.
You will. Fiedler is key.
And who should pop up with the plum job of Deputy Director of Operations?
Munt.
Have you ever met him, Alec, face to face?
No, just photos. Fair hair, cut short, built like an athlete. Looks younger than his age.
You'll know him by his eyes, very pale blue, dead, merciless.
But if what we have in mind goes well, you never should meet him.
Let's hope not. Your good name is going to take quite a beating.
Didn't know I had one, Peter.
What happened in Berlin?
The massacre, you mean?
It will be widely thought to have been your fault.
Wasn't it?
No, Alec, it was not.
And lots of people won't believe for a minute it was. You do have a good name among us of the old school.
The new breed think I'm all blood, guts, whiskey and ignorance.
But you must know there will be no spirited defence of you from on high.
Wouldn't expect it.
The taint of a bad and horribly costly mistake in Berlin will hang over you. It will be permitted to hang over you. You will resent that, as so you should. Do.
I rather imagine you'll be bitter, angry, take to drink with increased enthusiasm.
I can manage that.
And as more of the new breed take over from the old school.
My name will be Mud.
Yes, and who better to thicken that mud than dear old Elsie from accounts?
What we did to his pension was a disgrace, of course. The poor man was to get no more than £400 a year. Interrupted service, you see.
He did wonders for us in the war. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Norway and Holland, I think. So they gave him a medal and let him go, then brought him back when they needed him. He told me they had to drag him back. And then after the mess in Berlin, they dumped him in banking to do his time kind of thing. His contract had only months to run. And you know what they say about banking. A laying out place for officers soon to be buried. Most of the jobs there could be done by an office boy, and not a very bright one. If it wasn't so secret, you know. No? Overseas payments to agents and networks. A lot of money sometimes. But just plain dreary for a fieldman like Alec. About as dreary as this place has got. He took it badly. I knew he would. Very badly indeed. He changed completely. And fast. Can't be denied. He became a difficult man to like.
They say that when Balzac was on his deathbed, he asked after the well-being of fictional characters, characters he had created.
Are you reminding me not to crack up?
No, I'm saying that for this to work, you must identify completely with the part you play. You must become that character. And you will be entirely alone. It will be very, very difficult.
I've been under deep cover before, George.
This won't be exactly deep cover, though, will it? Quite shallow, in fact. You'll be very exposed.
True enough. A disgraced, bitter, drunken ex-spy. That's a part I could play up to the hilt. Two shows a day and three on Saturday.
But George is right. It has to be absolute. Whatever the need, the desperation, you mustn't seek shelter from anyone. There must be no one to confide in.
They're safe enough there, Peter. There is no one.
Alec had always been a drinker, but now... Well, as I say, a hard man to like... Even to feel sorry for. He'd arrive late, leave early. And there's no doubt in my mind that there were times, even when he was at his desk, he wasn't sober. When he wasn't outright offensive, he was boring. I'd never known Alec Lemus to be boring before. I could tell you some highly entertaining stories about our Alec. Anyway... On and on he'd go, attacking the service, the cavalry boys, as he called them, that ran it like a regimental club. Even worse was when he got started on the Americans. He seemed to hate them more than he did the East German thugs he'd been fighting. Never missed a chance to berate the Yanks. You'd think it was them who'd brought on all that mayhem in Berlin.
It's getting cold. Shall we go in?
Nothing else for me, George?
Well, one thing... Don't do it, Alec.
What?
George, if Control heard that, he'd have an apoplexy with his hair on fire. The plan is brilliant.
And it can work. We can get Munt.
Steady on, George.
Yes, it may work. And it does have, I suppose, a certain sinister elegance. It's also foul. Excuse me, my knees and the cold, they ache. I really must go inside.
I'm doing it, George. I'm going after Munt.
One thing I can promise you, it's worth it. Worth it to this service and to the country.
The same thing, that it, Control? Sorry, I seem to have started as I mean to go on. I'm pissed.
All you have to do is stay alive and we'll win a great victory. The ground's prepared. We did it long ago. Little things. Clues that are easy to miss, but which we can be fairly confident will not be missed. You are the last stage in the treasure hunt. Oh, and speaking of treasure... and the reality of the game, you really will have no money.
Next thing anybody knew, he'd vanished. Gone. No goodbye, nothing. His contract hadn't run out, but Alec had. And then, of course, you can imagine, the stories really warmed up. He'd drawn the balance of his pay in cash, they said. So that meant bank trouble. His name must be mud all over. Warmer still, he'd had his hand in the till. They put a stop to his pension altogether. That awful woman with the blue hair in the telephone room, a lot of this started with her and her cronies, switchboard gossip and co. Not that I'm saying Alec wasn't capable of a fiddle, and no doubt he needed money, what with the booze he was putting away and those children of his he never saw but had to pay for. He might well have given it some thought, but our Alec... he'd have made a better job of it. He'd have got away with it. And he didn't.
because the last I heard, he was living on the dole.
Now, let's see what you've been up to, Mr. Lemus.
You and you.
I am, but you are not. You've been drawing benefit here for quite a few months now.
Only because it brightens up Thursday mornings.
A regular wage, honestly earned. That could brighten things up for more than one day a week. Cheer us up, too.
I like the other man better.
The Industrial Adhesive Company assistant manager you lasted a week.
A stink of fish oil. No amount of washing could get it off me. I had to cut my hair to the skull and throw two suits away.
Then you were selling encyclopedias door to door another week. You couldn't have knocked on many doors in that time.
It seemed a lot. I sold nothing.
No, and you didn't return the company's sample either. Now, the library.
Oh, not that again. They've been shoving that one at me for weeks. I mean, the Bayswater Library for Psychic Research. What kind of setup's that?
For you, Mr. Lemus, it's a setup that means easy work and a regular wage and you're off our books. You take this card round to the chief librarian, Miss Crail.
Miss? I'll be working for a woman.
You'll be working. In work, gainfully employed, earning an honest crust. Words to get you up in the morning.
You are from the Labour Exchange?
Yes. Well, the Labour Exchange sent me here. I'm the new help.
Help?
Assistant. It's on the card.
And how can you help or assist, Mr. Lemus?
I'm not sure. What do you do here? Miss Crail, is it?
We unbox, we arrange, we catalogue, we shelf, we maintain order.
I can do all that. Where do I start?
Yes, I did. I did. They're on the mantelpiece. Well, then you must have.
Mr. Lemus.
That's right.
I'm Liz Gold. If you come with me, I'll show you around.
Behind the clock, but in plain view. If you haven't lost your spectacles again.
The library began as an endowment from a brewer millionaire and part-time medium. He left about 3,000 books. Since then, we've collected another 2,000, and just last week, 500 more from an estate in Surrey.
Another dead spook finder?
Widow of an anthropologist. Huh. See, the thing is, with all these new books, we could use extra help. Miss Crail started a new index.
Who was she tearing into on the phone?
Her mother.
Don't think I want to imagine that. Miss Crail's mother.
So you simply check the title on the shelf, and then you pencil it into the index. See?
Pencil? These are in ink. But they've been... Oh, I get it. Miss Crail double-checks and then confirms in ink. We arrange and catalogue and double-check and always maintain order.
That's about it.
And what do you do about lunch?
I bring sandwiches. You can share mine today if you like. There isn't a cafe for miles.
Thanks, but there's a pub just around the corner. Archaeological Discoveries in Asia Minor. Volume 4. Oh, I suppose I have to find the first three.
Don't bother. We only have Volume 4.
I do have some good memories of Alec Lemus. From before the fall, we might say. He took me out a few times. Oh, yes. More than a few. Not that there was ever anything physical. He wasn't my type at all in that way. And I knew what he wanted from me. He was a glutton for circus gossip and tales. So we go to the pub, this place usually, and I'd have a couple of these, a nice warm port, always my tipple, and he'd have whiskey after whiskey after whiskey, and we'd talk and laugh, and he'd be an absolute charmer. He could be that, especially in a pub. In a pub, Alec was at home. Oh, my. Before the fall. But he did fall. He fell far and fast.
Miss Crail, are you all right?
I'm fine, perfectly fine.
But you seem to be...
I seem...
I thought you were trembling. But then this place is as cold as a church hall and the smell of paraffin.
Well, the smell of paraffin does not affect me, Mr. Lemus. The smell of whiskey, however, on a gentleman's breath at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Ah,
Only the one, Miss Crail.
Especially when that gentleman should have been back here at 2.
I had some shopping to do.
Yes, so I have seen. There are 2 carrier bags in a corner of Grail Fleece and Herculean Labours.
Where should I put them?
Nowhere. We do not allow shopping to be stored anywhere in the library. And you should not have time to do lunch hour shopping. Lunch hour, Mr. Lemus. We do not, Miss Gold and I, we do not have time to shop.
You could take the extra half hour if you needed to. Then if you're pressed, you could work a half hour more in the evening. If you really needed to shop, and you were pressed. Are you sure you're all right?
Excuse me. I have an urgent phone call to make.
Good grief. What have I gotten myself into?
Now, now, Mr. Lemus. Think of the poor woman's nerves. And her poor mother on the phone right now.
She was staring at me like I was carrying plague.
Whiskey, forbidden shopping bags, extra half hours.
Hardly enough to have her shaking like a leaf.
There's more. Worse. This morning.
I was here on time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in before her.
I know. And you hung your Macintosh on her peg.
Oh, I see. Now I understand.
Mm.
Afternoon, Miss Gold. Is all well?
Hello, Mr. Fleming. You're early today.
Rumours, Miss Goldie, Aries, buzzing with them. I thought no harm in giving the place a surprise recce.
Mr. Lemus, this is our caretaker and watchman, Mr. Fleming.
You have full clearance, young man?
He has.
Can't be too careful with the clearance. What with all these rumours? Of course, most of them, that's all they are. Stories to keep you up to the mark. But one of these days, the whisper will be something's afoot, and something will be afoot, and it might be the big one. Bear that in mind at all times, young man.
You leave the place in that man's care at night. He looks like a worried skeleton.
He is very old and shell-shocked.
First war?
Yes. But he makes a good watchman. You can be sure he'll never doze off. He sits awake all night in case the Germans counterattack.
God, it's cold. You got far to go?
20 minutes walk. I always walk it. You?
Not too far. I'll walk as well. Do it in stages.
More shopping.
2 pubs, but only 1 in each. No one to rush home for.
Mr. Lemus.
You're not going to go all Miss Crail on me, are you? I've got a couple of after-work scotches.
No, of course not.
I drink only the quality
stuff. I take
stuff.
A drink myself.
Oh, in that case, you can call me Alec. Liz, all right?
Fine.
So what then? You were about to say something.
Right, well, the thing is, I live alone too, and I enjoy cooking. Not bad at all, people say, and you look as if you could use...
Solid sustenance?
Supper. Sorry.
No, don't be. Tonight?
Well...
That's okay, but I couldn't make it tonight anyway. But as soon as you like, Liz.
Right.
Good night. Of the good in you I can speak, but not of the evil. For what is evil but good tortured by its own hunger and thirst?
Who's that?
Some nutter by the name of Khalil Gibran.
I don't believe evil people are born that way. They're made.
Right. They all laughed at Hitler's painting, so he took up mass slaughter.
People always bring up Hitler.
Oh, they do. So predictable. Time to forgive and forget.
Here's a quote for you. I and the public know what all school children learn. Those to whom evil is done do evil in return.
That apply to everyone. Even you. Somebody does you a bad turn, you're going to do one back to them.
You know that's not what I'm saying to you.
I don't doubt if some poor little creep gets bullied at school, then gets some strength, some power, he could well turn into a nasty big creep. But some are evil to the core. Yes, from birth. You can see it in their eyes. Dead. Merciless. They're worthless and dangerous and fit only for killing. So kill them.
That's justice, is it?
Revenge is a kind of wild justice.
Francis Bacon.
Ooh. What a well-read girl.
Woman. How did revenge get into this? Have you got a hangover?
Yes. I take many drinks and I'm not a romantic. So I suppose I'm barred from your not-bad-at-all supper table, which I'm sure is very kosher. But there I go, bringing up Hitler again.
Alec,
this is not a conversation society. This is a library.
When she's not arguing with her mother, it's Mr. Ironside she phones.
You know, when things get really serious, so if a book goes missing or the heaters break down, or if the government raises taxes, then she simply must put it to Mr. Ironside. It's always those words. I must put it to Mr. Ironside.
And who's he?
Oh, he's a big gun. I've never met him. Maybe he doesn't exist. I mean, sometimes I really think that. There is no Mr. Ironside. He's just talking to the air, to the static, or to the speaking clock. Oh, heavens, I am going on. I don't usually take this much wine. Won't you have some?
I'll stick to the whiskey. Red wine gives me a headache in the morning.
Ah. Well, we wouldn't want that, would we? You know, Miss Crail reminds me of a teacher that I had, Miss Souter. She was mad as well, in much the same way. And I remember I met her in the corridor. I'd just come back from a really good hockey game and I was glowing. And I smiled at her, straight into her eyes, and she knew what the smile meant. I knew she knew. It meant you, Miss Souter, are an ancient nutcase, and I'm young and bright as a button and an excellent hockey player. Alec.
What?
Shut me up, you talk.
I'm not much of a talker.
Well, tell me a story.
A story?
About yourself, first thing that comes into your head.
All right. When I got back to my flat last night and switched on the light, nothing happened. Darkness. I stood and just listened. Was there somebody in there waiting for me?
Oh, good, a thriller.
For a minute, I was sure there was. I have that kind of awareness, sixth sense or whatever. Like an animal, I suppose. I hear nothing, see nothing. But I know he's smiling. Faint light from the landing. An envelope on the mat. I went out. Backed out, of course. Slowly. Don't take your eyes off the darkness. Went down a few steps. Better light in the stairwell. Keep glancing at the black, empty doorway. He's in there. Waiting. Smirking. Rip it open. Read in snatches. Electricity company. We regret. Area manager. No alternative but to cut off your supply until outstanding account settled £9, 4 shillings and 8 pence.
What you have to remember, Alec, is that you're not searching for something. You're not out there to find anyone, to seek any kind of contact. You're out there to live that life. That is your life. It's your reality. They mustn't catch wind of you through any action of yours, any trailing of coat or dropping of spur. It must not be by your will. This will work only if they find you. And even then it may fail entirely, may well do. No one knows that better than you. And, of course, they may never find you at all. You may be clean off their map.
What are you thinking?
Nothing much.
You look miles away.
An old friend. Advice he gave me.
I don't think you're the type to follow advice. Well, not the good stuff, anyway. You look comfy.
Whiskey does that for me.
I have the feeling you're not often comfortable.
You don't think you have the feeling. Don't try to read me, Liz. I'm in a foreign language. So, have there been many men stretched out on your comfy sofa?
You're the first.
The first?
Mm.
What age are you?
I'm 23, and I'm
teasing.
If you've no electricity, no light, it's an electric heater you have, you could stay. Sleep where you are, I mean, on the sofa.
No, thanks. I'd best go back. I have an oil lamp and candles. I won't have to cook till tomorrow night. I'll be reconnected then. And you've had more wine than you're used to.
You were. The back door. Neither in nor out, and I'm sure you didn't know if you were going in or out. Well, how should I know which way you were going? I simply found you there. You were muttering poetry. Well, I've no idea, something about memory of all things. The oppressed oppressing or some such gibberish. But I don't care if it was Oliver Cromwell. It was most disconcerting. Yes?
My pay packet, Miss Crail.
It was counted twice. I count everything twice.
No. The money's correct. I just thought I'd mention my name. It's L-E-A and only one S. First couple of weeks I didn't, but it's begun to niggle.
Niggle? Shall I tell you what niggles? I took you on here, Mr. L-E-A-M-A-S, with no references.
That was very trusting and generous of you.
I have since spoken with a friend at the Labour Exchange. It would appear you've recently had two jobs which lasted barely a week each.
Well, that's true. They didn't suit.
And before that, you're a blank. Were you in some kind of institution?
Institution? Well, in a way.
Mental or penal, I feel I have the right to know.
I was abroad, Miss Crail. I was travelling with a circus.
How can you say such things with a straight face?
Because it's true. I used to shake a stick at a dangerous bear.
Mr. Leams, you're not funny.
Oh, she won't fire you. She'd be afraid you'd come back and murder her in her bed, thrash her with your bear stick.
I wish she would get rid of me. I don't think I can take much more of that place.
Oh, so what will you do, run away and join the circus again?
Maybe as a clown this time.
Were you abroad?
I have been.
Where?
Norway, Holland, Germany.
Sounds like the war. Not Russia?
No.
I'd like to go there. I've been nowhere. I wouldn't put it past you, you know.
What?
Just to disappear. I think you've done that before. Sorry, am I reading you again?
It's true, Liz. I do have a habit of just disappearing.
I know. That I can read, whatever language you're in. And if you do your vanishing act, I won't try to find you.
No, you mustn't do that.
No hide and seek. So, all that said, and I haven't had too much wine, will you stay tonight?
I'd like that very much.
I know, Alec, I know. There's not many know better than me when it's there for the taking. Who can refuse, especially when you're out there, alone, in the field, in the cold. A woman, a bed, a willing woman and a warm bed. Who can refuse?
You can be a sweet man.
And you're a sweet girl.
Woman.
Oh, very much so.
I think I'll sleep now.
I think you will.
Like a baby.
Like a kitten.
But the danger's not in the bed, Alec. Not even really in the woman. It's in you. In your own head. By all means, let the arms and the legs go around you. Enjoy the cozy blankets. But you let those other womanly things get round you, worm their way into you, turn your head. That can be fatal.
Alec, what are you doing?
Getting dressed. Go back to sleep.
It feels very early.
It's after 5. I'll see you at work.
5? You don't have to sneak away at this hour.
I'm not sneaking.
Like you're ashamed or something.
I'm not ashamed and I'm not sneaking away.
You're angry.
Go back to sleep, Liz.
Who is it you hate, Alec?
Hate?
You can put on the charm, be sweet, but it's like there's some kind of fanatic inside you. An angry priest.
Are you still asleep? Still dreaming?
No, I don't think so. Fanatical priest.
Listen to me. It's 5 in the morning. Not a time for half-asleep drivel. And I'm wide awake. I've had a lovely time and sweet dreams, but now I'm wide awake and I want to leave. I want to go to my own flat and have a bath and a long breakfast on my own, which is how I like my ham and eggs. Simple as that. Understand?
Yes.
Good. I'll see you at work.
That should be an extra sensory, I think.
It's about a monkish chappie.
I know, but he wasn't so much a famous monk as a famous mind reader.
Oh, right.
Enjoy your ham and eggs.
Excellent. A sausage as well. Mm. I need to keep my strength up if I'm going to be seeing you again. Am I going to be seeing you again?
I hope so. I am sorry, Alec.
So am I.
I was half asleep.
And I was too wide awake. The Varieties of Religious Experience, William James.
I've actually read that.
What about Psychology of the Unconscious?
Carl Gustav Jung. I've got all his greatest hits.
Is everything in order there?
Yes, Miss Crow.
I asked because you were whispering. You looked conspiratorial.
Well, we were just marvelling at how many of your books we both read. You'd almost think we were fated to be here together.
Fate in the form of the Bayswater Labour Exchange?
Life is strange, Miss Crail.
If you need me, I shall be in witchcraft and vampirism.
I don't doubt it.
Would you come round tonight?
Please. And tomorrow, we'll come into work together.
What do you believe in, Alec?
Nothing, really.
Well, you must believe in something.
Well, I believe the number 11 bus will take me to Hammersmith. I don't believe Santa Claus will be driving it. What about you? You're Jewish, aren't you?
I was born Jewish, yes.
But you don't believe?
Not in God, no.
What then? Come on. I know you're dying to tell me.
I believe in history.
Oh, no. Oh, dear God, Liz, don't tell me that. You're not a bloody communist.
Yes, I am.
You're in the party?
Yes.
Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, that's good.
Stop laughing. I suppose it can be funny. You tell yourself that you're there for peace and freedom, equality, mass action, and then you're in the back room of a pub with five other people. Such a little world.
Yes. Some people keep budgies. Some join the party.
But I do believe in it, Alec. I look at kids in the street, really poor kids, skinny, stunted, or with their mothers with tired faces pushing prams, and I think I'm doing it for them.
By standing on a corner selling the Daily Worker.
Oh, that's something.
Sure it is. And I bet sometimes you pay for a dozen yourself just to get off the corner and go home.
I do not.
Of course you do. All the comrades do it.
Well, I tell myself they do so I don't feel so bad myself.
Feel fine about yourself. They all do it. People believe in things because they need to. What they believe doesn't matter. A dog scratches where it itches. Different dogs itch in different places.
That's a wicked thing to say. I will not have wicked talk in my bed.
Come here, comrade.
You will be alone, Alec, however desperate the need. There can be no shelter, no consolation. You must survive alone in shallow cover. You will be very exposed. It will all be very difficult.
It's 3 o'clock.
Yes.
On his second day of absence. No telephone call, no explanation. You think he might have at least telephoned?
Something must have prevented him, Miss Crail. Illness, maybe.
Ill manners, more like. And you sure you don't know where he is?
How should I? I haven't seen him since the night before last.
Night?
Evening. We had supper together.
You and that man have become suspiciously close.
Suspicious?
You whisper together, you share secrets, you share supper.
Miss Crail, I don't know why Mr. Lemus isn't here.
Well, we must do a thorough stock-taking. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd been stealing books since the day he arrived. Now he's made off with his booty. We'll begin with delusion and hysteria.
Alec, are you in there? Alec! Alec! The top flat. Someone's ill.
What are you on about? Who's ill?
The man in the top flat. Mr. Lemus.
You sure he's not just drunk?
He's ill. He can't even get to the door.
What's he to you?
I work with... Never mind. Do you have a key?
Why would I have a key? I'm not his landlord, thank God.
This can happen, of course, to an agent too long in the field.
I'm sure you've seen it in others, Alec.
The mind is under such strain, the nerves stretched...
to an almost unbearable pitch.
And the body itself breaks down. There can be...
fever.
Cramps.
Nausea.
Even hallucination. I suppose we can only...
call it dread. Terror. And there's no shame.
In that. Not when you're going after a creature like Munt.
But of course we hope you'll never meet the man.
You'll know him by his eyes. Very pale blue. Dead. Merciless.
Alec, what's wrong? Oh, dear God. What's happened? I'm here, Alec. I'll help you.
You do know she's a communist, don't you?
Not just a sympathizer, a party member.
This isn't wise.
We'll get you well. I'll make you well. I bought calves foot jelly, essence of beef, aspirin. I've even got a packet of rusks. We had to break your door in. The grocer downstairs, he didn't have a key, so he used a hammer. He's made quite a mess, I'm afraid. Come on now. Let me prop you up a little. Now, let's wipe your face first. Now, take some of this beef tea. That's it. Good. I made it the way my mother used to, in a glass. You put a teaspoon in so that the glass won't crack. That's good, Alec. A little more. There.
A Communist Party member.
A sentimentalist.
And a Jew.
Not wise at all.
You look a lot better, Alec. Would you open your eyes for me?
I think perhaps more decisive action would be helpful about now.
Can you hear me?
Something quite extreme, perhaps.
But entirely in character.
I've got the flat all spick and span. Needed a thorough going over. I enjoyed doing that.
This fever might turn out to have been a fortunate development.
I'm sure you can hear me.
With the impressive drinking you've been doing...
and all that delightfully erratic behaviour...
we might be primed for something rather shocking.
But not altogether surprising, not out of character.
There you are. I've missed them, your eyes.
How long?
6 days.
6 days? And you?
I've been here every evening. Lunchtimes, too. You're not angry, are you?
No.
I know you said don't follow you, but you were so ill, I had to help you. Are you angry?
No. You look happy.
I am. I love you, Alec Lemus. We can have a proper meal now. How does ham and eggs sound? And a sausage? We'll take it at the table. I've laid it, see? Would you like to shave first?
No. I don't feel like shaving.
Well, why don't you sit down, have a cigarette, a whiskey, if you like, and I'll get the food ready. Alec.
Before you arrived, I was standing here watching a girl across the alley at her window.
What girl?
Well, just a girl. She was feeding the pigeons. They were flocking on the ledge, and she was smiling, feeding them bread. She was smiling all the time.
Shall I pour you a whiskey?
And I thought, that's what Liz has given me.
What have I given you?
Or tried to give. Shown me it might be possible, even for me. Faith, I suppose you might call it. In ordinary life. Simplicity. Whether it's bread for the pigeons. Or love. This isn't my way of talking.
It sounds like you.
That's what I'd like to find again. When I get back.
Back from where?
If I ever do get back.
Don't frighten me.
There's something I have to do. It has to be done. Shall I walk you home?
No.
Don't try to follow me, Liz. Not this time.
And carnation milk. That'll be all.
20 caps.
Did you get that door fixed?
Of course I got the door fixed.
Tell the girl, she or you, to pay for it.
Better give me another 20 fags. How much do I owe you?
£1, £3, and £4.
Put it on account.
Do what?
On account. I'll pay you at the end of the week.
I can't do that.
Why not?
I don't know you.
Don't talk cock. I've lived upstairs for months. Chopped in this miserable place all that time.
I hardly know you. I definitely don't like you, and I think you're drunk. You're not often sober, are you? So?
So what?
Pay up. We do not give credit. Not without a banker's reference.
A reference? Most of your customers have never seen the inside of a bank, and never bloody will.
Give me that bag back.
Take it.
I will take it. Give it here, and get out of my shop.
There. You all see that? He came at me. Good job he didn't have a shotgun under the counter. Any of you lot armed?
The man is a lunatic. I've known it all along. And the entire neighbourhood knows it now.
Some of the customers said the grocer pushed Alec.
Pushed him. Tried to get his groceries back from a madman.
He must have done something more. Said something.
Well, Mr. Alec did something. He fractured the man's cheekbone and dislocated his jaw. Spouting nonsense all the time.
3 months.
There's no time at all. Matter of weeks.
3 months is a long time in prison, Miss Crowe.
I'd have him in a lunatic asylum for life.
Inside, Alec, you will be more alone than ever. There will be no help we can give you. In fact, no contact with us at all. You have to do this on your own. The tiniest easing of prison conditions might be noticed in a place so overcrowded and constantly scrutinized. It's going to be hard, a man like you behind bars. You're a man will take caging very hard indeed. Believe me, I understand that. I do have one bit of advice that might help you through. Exercise, brisk physical exercise, as much as you can get. A job in the prison garden, maybe. And remember, it's only 3 months, and you might well be out in less. Before you know it, the governor will be handing you your paper parcel and sending you on your way. Something of the marriage ritual in that. With this parcel I do give thee unto open society. Quite a thought, though, eh? All you'll have in the world wrapped up in brown paper and string. Bear up, Alec. We know you can.
I say, hold on a minute. You've forgotten this. Your parcel? You left it on the bench.
I don't want it.
You don't want it?
No, it's prison stuff and I'm out now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be. I'm out and I'm taking nothing with me. I've got money in my pocket and I'm going to the Strand. There's a place there where you can get a decent steak and a drink for 6 shillings. Or you could 3 months ago.
What should I do with this?
Leave it where it was or shove it in a bin. You've done your good deed. After following me for half an hour?
Nothing like half an hour.
Why?
I thought I knew you. Alec Lemus. You are Alec.
And who are you?
Ash. With an E. I used to be with the BBC. Well, didn't we meet through Derek Williams, that awfully nice man from The Observer? We must remember Derek, his pizza party. He had half the cabaret from the Malkasten there.
The Malkasten?
In Berlin. Oh, wonderful city. Even with that dreadful wall. No barriers to fun and games in Berlin.
In episode 1 of The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, Alec Lemus was played by Brian Cox. George Smiley was played by Simon Russell Beale. Liz Gold by Ruth Gemmell. Control by John Rowe. Peter Gwillem by Richard Delane. Elsie from Accounts and Elvira by Siobhan Redmond. Ash by Jamie Newell. Miss Crail by Liza Sadovy. The Man at the Labour Exchange by Philip Fox. The Grocer by David Hargreaves. And the CIA Officer by Benjamin Askew. The Spy Who Came In From the Cold was dramatised for radio by Robert Forrest from the novel by John le Carré. The producer was Patrick Rayner.